Have you ever heard the sound of freedom? Freedom. Freedom. Have you ever heard the sound of freedom?
You are listening to The Flip Side with Noah Filipiak, connecting the reality of the gospel to the grit of life. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/NoahFilipiak or at NoahFilipiak.com/give.
What's up, everybody? I'm back. That's right. Can you hear the smooth, velvety sound of a good sound setup? I'm actually in my house. I'm in my home office, in my studio. That's right. Have a studio. Pretty much arrived now. So, if you are a regular listener of the podcast, you know that the last few months have been a challenge for me and for the podcast, right? You've hung in there, and I appreciate that. I was living at my in-laws for 2 months. I did do one episode from their kitchen table. I told them they had to leave their own house so I could record. But life was like drinking from a fire hose for... Is that the phrase? Yes, it is the phrase. Drinking from a fire hose for about 2 months, just jumping in the deep end of a new job and moving and stress and living in a house that wasn't my own and having stuff everywhere. And so there were some filler episodes. I hope that those got you through. Some sermons of mine. I wanted to not have the podcast go completely dead or anything like that, and got some good feedback on those sermons. A few people emailed in, and so praise God for that. And the dust is finally starting to settle. It seriously has been crazy. The move, I probably shouldn't use the word traumatic, because people go through real trauma, and it's not like that. But I will tell you, it was much more taxing than I thought it was going to be. Just the whole transition, I think some of it is because of just the amount of transition that I've been going through for a whole year. And there was this rental house in Lansing that got destroyed by my tenants who we were trying to help. And it was 9 months of rehabbing that house. And I am not a rehabber. And it was just a lot of this stuff piling up. And so we moved into our house a few weeks ago. Our house is still filled with boxes, but we're getting settled in, and life is starting to settle down. Not completely there yet, and I'm realizing too that, and I like to talk about counseling a lot. I like to take the stigma out of it. I'm going back to counseling today. I encourage you to go to counseling if there's stuff you just want to work through in life, or if you're feeling depressed or anxious. I've just realized all this unsettling and all this adjustment, all this transition, it's taken a toll on me, and I need some help just kind of getting back into what is this new rhythm, this new routine. People ask me how I'm doing, how I'm settling in. I do really love my job. I love my team. But look, I lived in Lansing for 15 years. I did a certain type of ministry, urban, diverse ministry for 15 years and have lots of friends and close relationships. And now I live out in the country. My wife has a job out in the country as a teacher. And so we live where her job is and where our kids go to school. And it's been a big adjustment. And so that's where I'm at. And it's been, over 2 months since my last, what you'd call, real episode. So thank you for hanging in there. Thanks for staying with it. It's been about a month since I put up one of the filler episodes. So it's crazy, because in all that, we added a Patreon patron. What? Right? Like, what? Why would somebody listen to the filler episodes and then say, I'm going to support that podcast? But thank you. So now we're up to 8 patrons total. It's not a lot, not like bragging. Like a friend of mine has a podcast. It's like, join one of my over 200 patrons. It's like, dude, first of all, you could retire. That's pretty good income. The reason I do patrons is because partially this is work, and I do enjoy it, but I need the help. I need the help, some accountability from you. And being a patron is kind of like being my boss. It's kind of like being my professor that says, this assignment has to get done. You have people that are supporting you, that are waiting, so get it done. Because life is crazy, and I talked about, whenever my last real episode was, about limits, and things are always competing for my time. And so I do love this podcast. I think it's effective. I think it's fruitful. I love the feedback that I get from you. And so one way you can just see the podcast continue is to become a patron. So you go to patreon.com/NoahFilippiak. We're up to 10. I'm sorry, we're up to 8 total. The first goal is to get to 10. If we get to 10, then two things are going to happen. Boom, boom. They're going to go into reality, into effect, into the course of history. One of them will be a guaranteed at least every other week episode. So because one thing about a successful podcast is regular episodes. This whole thing I did in the last month, not good for the life of your podcast. So I want to get you regular content. So every other week at minimum. And then also, because I know everybody wants this, I know everybody is just clamoring for this next thing to happen, I won't shave for a month. Boom! Like, if that doesn't motivate you to become a patron, I don't know what will. But that's it. I'm not going to just for fun. Let's see what happens. Not going to shave for a month. If we ever get up to 20, it may be 30 years from now, we'll get up to 20, it'll be a guarantee of a weekly episode. And I will shave a handlebar mustache and wear it for a week. So, again, I mean, who wouldn't want that? That's got to motivate you. I've done the handlebar stash before. I have preached in the handlebar stash before. So, would bring that back for everybody's viewing entertainment. And, of course, we'll give the Instagram and Facebook updates of and my wife's reaction, which, you know, she would hate it. So, I guess if you are pro like my wife, then don't become a patron. So so there's different amounts on there, and basically the amount you give, 10, 5, 3, 1 per month, you get that many free books, Beyond the Battle books, sent to you. So it's a good way to encourage getting some small groups started out there in the world. And oh yeah, those first three, 10, 5, and 3 a month, they come with a free leader guide. The leader guide normally sells for $49. So ba-boom. Speaking of Beyond the Battle groups, guess what's back? Not only am I back, not, oh yeah, I was going to have this, let's do it now. So guess who's back? Here we go. Turn that down. I was going to play this at the beginning. Like, hey, I'm back. I'm not in black. I'm wearing a Detroit Pistons long sleeve t-shirt today. I'm back in gray. Red, white, and blue, though. Also back, me on the podcast. The Flip Side is back. Guitar solo. Also back is BeyondTheBattle.net groups. That's right. They're back. So, these had like a 3-month hiatus because, again, limits. Trying to figure out how to do life, and there's this fruitful ministry. But I have a full-time job and a family and all these sorts of things. Pretty good. Should we just play AC/DC the whole rest of the episode? I feel like I should probably fade out. Let's fade out, editor. Producer. My producer just faded that out. I have a great producer. I'm going to double his salary. He's amazing. It's me. So, also back is my BeyondTheBattle.net groups. And these are 7-week groups. And we go through my book, Beyond the Battle. They're groups for guys who want just further freedom from sexual temptation of all kinds, and or just want to grow in their relationship with Jesus. They've been super fruitful, and now I have a team of guys that lead them, and then I help out. I show up in the group periodically throughout the 7 weeks, and we have our first one going, and it's going great. We just started it last week. Got 6 guys in the group, which is a great number. And we are going to do another one starting in January. So if you want to get into a group, the registration is open. Starts in January. It's on Monday evening. So head over to beyondthebattle.net. And those groups now also come with a $49 leader guide. A lot of guys go through that group and then they want to lead a group themselves. And so, bam, the leader guide. It's Halloween season. I'm handing out leader guides like candy. But boom, that's another way to get your leader guide. Speaking of candy, reminds me of book clubs. No real relation there. But the Flipside Book Club starts now, today, boom, November 4th, 2019, the first ever Flipside Book Club begins. I'm going to post on my blog about this to get you kind of more of the details. The blog is noahfilipiak.com. That is where you're going to want to interact and respond regarding book club stuff, but it's going to also provide content for the podcast going forward. So, the first book that we're going to do, I invite you. I'm inviting you right now. Hey, you're invited. You're invited. You're my friend. Let's do this. You're invited to be in the book club. We're going to read Mere Sexuality by Todd A. Wilson. So get a copy of that. However you get copies of books, Mere Sexuality by Todd A. Wilson. And basically, we're going to go through the book. I'll break it up into sections. Every book's going to be a little different on how it'll be sectioned out, but probably like in quarters or so. And I will give you deadlines. The deadlines will be every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, see how it goes. And at that deadline, I will post about that section of the book that we just read. I'll post on the blog. And then those of you in the book club, I will pose questions for you, reflective questions to respond. See, for me, I want to read more books. If I'm in a seminary class, I read those books. I read them because I have a professor. I have accountability. I have a class. I have a place to discuss these things. And I learn more that way too. So what I'm doing is creating the seminary class. I'll be the professor. We will be the class. And we will discuss the book in the basically the comment section of my blog on these specific articles. So that's your introduction to the Flipside Book Club. Hopefully it's fun. I mean, I don't expect thousands of people to join. I mean, I know there's millions that listen to the podcast. I don't expect thousands to join. Both of those are very sarcastic statements in case you are new to the podcast. Honestly, it might just be me and two other people. It might be me and zero other people. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to read it. So I will feel a little sad if nobody's commenting or anything, but that's okay. I'm still going to go for it. I'll be sad. Jesus loves me. I'm his son. My identity's in him. Good. I'm strong, right? So hopefully it'll be good and fruitful, and it'll just be something we keep doing. I think it'll be a great way to give some books some exposure. I've never read Mere Sexuality. So I might probably agree with some of it, disagree with some of it, and you might agree with some of it, disagree with some of it, and it will be, I think, very fruitful. So next, let's talk about, we have some mail. So did you know, I know it's been a while, but there is a mailbag on the Flipside podcast. It is, write this down in your brain, tattoo it on your forehead. Backwards. So when you look in the mirror every day, you see it like the right way. Podcast@beyondthebattle.net. Let's open up the mailbag.
Mail time.
Mail time.
All right. Mailbag opens from Aaron. Aaron was initially writing because I keep teasing about the Chevy Real People ads. Real people, not actors. I'm going to do that on Noah's Rant. That's today. So just keep listening. I know you've been waiting for, what, probably 3 months. Just you probably haven't been able to live without it. You've been like, how have you gotten by? I don't know. So that's going to be today. So he wrote in a link that I'll explain later. And then he also said, hey, found you from the Undone Redone podcast, and they've been listening since. So that's a good podcast. Check that out. That was a podcast I was interviewed on. He says, got the book. The work you did on Robin Chirps in the wee hours was profound. So that's hilarious to me. That was another Noah's Rant that I did. I don't remember what episode that was. On robins waking me up outside my window and how I want them all to become extinct. And I still do. I'm not, mission is not accomplished yet. So we're still working on that, Aaron. So thank you for the love and the shout out there to that episode. This is from Alan. I believe I read one of Alan's emails about same-sex attraction a few episodes ago. And Alan says, podcast was good, man. Funny and serious and crazy. I got no excuse for not listening more. That's right. That's just going to become the podcast like tagline. You have no excuse for listening, for not listening more. You have no excuse for not listening more because it's funny, serious, and crazy. Oh, and good. What you said, quote, it's not easy, but it's real, unquote, was really good in saying so much in a few words. That's the point. The real makes the not easy worth it. So let's just pause there for a second. That's pretty awesome. He's talking about that same-sex attraction conversation we were having and about the cross and just what we get from the cross, from Jesus, what we get from our salvation in Jesus every day. And there was a line I said, this probably would be a better actual tagline for the podcast. It's not easy, but it's real. And just that realness of the love that we get from Jesus and being able to tap into it, that is something I hope to help with on this podcast, is helping tap into that real love that Jesus has for us on the podcast. Well, that he has for you all the time, not just when you listen to the podcast. When you listen to this podcast, Jesus loves you more. No, that's not true. He loves you all the time, and I hope that on the podcast, we can help. I'll help you learn better how to tap into that love that he has for you. Alan also writes, Middleville seems like a great place to live. That's where I live now. Check out episode 15. If you like crops and plant life, I give it 5 years tops before the locals turn ya into a farmer. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not quite used to the smell of manure when I get home. I'm hoping the winter, does that calm down in the winter? Like frozen ground, hopefully the poop smell is frozen as well. We'll find out. Yeah, that's new. So I lived in a city in Lansing and you smelled two things, marijuana, like all the time, smoke, and then frying chicken, because we lived about a block from a like fish fry, chicken fry sort of place. So those two smells, aromas have been replaced with the aroma of manure. So yeah, that's my life now. All right, this is from Rob. And I did an episode a while ago on community and on your experience in small groups. And here's the thing, Rob is awesome. Like, he's helped me see shame and grace as the antidote for shame better, and helped me teach better on grace as the antidote for shame. And I had reached out to Rob and I was like, hey, Rob, can you talk to me a little bit about your experience in small groups? Because he had said some profound things at one point. So he wrote me this amazing email, like publishable. Like this is like a book in an email. But he sent it. I did the episode the day, I think I posted it, and then his email came in an hour later or something like that. And so I never got to use any of this content. It's actually too long to use in a mailbag segment. So here's what I'm going to do. Rob basically sketches out, I think, 5 different types of small groups experiences that he's had. Or no, yes, summary on just a few of my common experiences. So we're going to do this in sections. You're going to have your own segment, Rob, a part of the mailbag. So we're just going to go through them in segments and I'll read them to you because I think they're really good to get you thinking, to get us thinking about small groups and community. And I'll try to find the episode here while I'm talking, of which my producer's working hard right now. My producer's working hard to figure out which episode it was that had we talked about community. So I'll get you that. This would be episode 13 or 75. That was the like 75th episode celebration. So yeah, episode 13 of The Flip Side. You'll find it in the feed. So Rob says, too often, this is his intro, too often we enter small group with anticipation of what I'm going to get out of group versus what am I going to give or bring to the group. Just like marriage, I've looked to church small groups to fill me versus trying to give or fill others. Good stuff. I'll read that last line again. Just like marriage, I've looked to church small groups to fill me versus trying to give or fill others. So there's a certain sense of anticipation there. Like this thing better meet my expectations. Next, the experiences I share have the lens of living a double-minded life for so many years and ultimately unable to bring my whole self to the group. The barrier that secret sin causes held me back from fully experiencing the goodness of community through various seasons, circles, and churches. So these are things Rob experienced, kind of living a double life. And you do then have to wonder how many people in church small groups are living double lives, but for one reason or another, that small group is not a place that they feel comfortable divulging this other life. So summary and just a few of my common concerns today, I'll just read the first one. Number one, the competition. Often small groups feel like a competition rather than a safe place to experience grace. For guys, the competition is always about job, status, pseudo leadership of the group, sounding, looking smart, and who can be funny or liked. My insecurity showed up too often as I sat back and jockeyed for position within the group. Sad, but true. Super good stuff to reflect on and think about. Go back and listen to episode 13 if you want the whole context of that conversation. So I will close up the mailbag. I don't have a great, amazing, what are those things called? Blurb? I can never think of them. They are called drops. I don't have a great drop for closing the mailbag, but I am closing the mailbag. So, love to hear from you. You can email in to podcast@beyondthebattle.net. For this episode, episode 19, the topic of the day, I don't think it's going to be very long, but something to think about that God has been putting on my heart. The right kind of blindness. The right kind of blindness. So if you look at John 9, I was reading John 9. I love John 9. It's one of my favorite Jesus stories because the blind man who, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Just look it up, read it, underline stuff. The blind man, he is snarky. Like he has this attitude about him. I love it. So basically, this guy's been blind from birth, and in this culture, you're blind from birth. It meant, in their minds, somebody had sinned, and there was all this shame, tons of shame associated with being blind at all, blind from birth. You did something wrong. Your parents did something wrong. So the dude has to beg. He has to beg. He begs for money, and Jesus comes by, heals him, puts mud on his eyes, heals him. Now he can see. So the Pharisees are like, what the heck's going on? It happened on the Sabbath as well. So they bring this guy before them. They're like the rulers. They call the shots. And they say, hey, are you the blind guy that used to beg at the gate? And he's like, yep, sure am. That's me. Like Clark Kent and Superman. I'm the same guy. Just don't have my glasses on. Always. What? I hate Superman. You know that, right? Like I did a rant. I think my first podcast episode that was my best rant because I say it was for the first episode or whatever. I think it was the first episode. My best rant is how much I hate Superman. He is the worst superhero. Episode 4. Okay, episode 4. Superman is the lamest superhero. He has no weaknesses. He can do everything. Like literally. He could do anytime, I should say his one weakness. That makes him even lamer. So every single episode, you're like, oh, Superman's going to save the day. He's stronger than anybody. He can shoot stuff. He shoots laser beams out of his eyes. He has frozen, icy breath. He has x-ray vision. Like, he can do everything. There's no drama whatsoever. Oh, but kryptonite. Oh, what a shock. Oh, I couldn't imagine another episode where kryptonite comes in. And now, like, I didn't see that one coming. And now we have to figure out how Superman gets around the kryptonite again in order to be back to being Superman and kill everybody or win because he's the best. He's the absolute best. Another lame thing about Superman that I'm not sure I mentioned in that first rant is his disguise is a set of glasses. Like, that's it. I mean, I wear glasses at night and in the morning. I wear contact lenses during the day. When I put my glasses on, my kids don't go, where's daddy? Oh, no. Who's this strange man in my house wearing glasses? No, no, they know. They know it's me. They just know it's me wearing glasses. So, back to John 9. That's kind of what's happening to the Pharisees. They know it's the blind guy, but they don't want to admit to it. They're like, hey, you look like the guy that begged by the gate, but you can see, are you the same guy? Maybe you had a twin separated at birth that we've never met. He's like, duh, I'm the same guy. Hello, I can see. How can you see then? Well, Jesus healed me. He did what? They throw, what? Are you kidding me? It's the Sabbath. They're probably swearing. It's the mother Sabbath. Right? Like, you can't sin on the Sabbath. You can't heal people on the Sabbath. They're so angry. Like, in their rage, they're sinning on the Sabbath about Jesus healing on the Sabbath, which they're calling a sin. So this whole drama unfolds. They bring the parents in, and they ask this guy's parents, hey, is this guy your son? The guy that was begging by the gate. Yeah, he's our son. Again, like, we know he's our son. Okay, how did he get his sight then? You tell us, and they don't want anything to do with this. Because if they admit Jesus did it, if they get entangled with Jesus, if they admit Jesus might be the Messiah, then they're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. They're going to lose all their friends. They're going to lose their job. They're going to lose their social status. Bad news. So you know what they say? We're not answering that question. We plead the fifth. Ask him. He is of age. So they ask him again. And how do you like it when people ask you the same question? You already gave them an answer. They didn't like your answer, even though it was the right answer. So the blind man and all of his snarkiness, they say, who was it that opened your eyes? And he says, I already told you once it was Jesus. Why do you want to know again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Now, do you think the Pharisees wanted to become Jesus' disciples? No. The Pharisees did not want to become Jesus' disciples. Do you think the blind man knew this? Yes. The blind man knew that the Pharisees did not want to become Jesus' disciples. So the Pharisees, they say, how dare you lecture us? You were steeped in sin at birth. And they grabbed him and physically threw him out of the synagogue. Boom! Right? He runs back into Jesus, and it kind of picks up there in verse 35, and the man just says, Lord, I believe. And he worships Jesus. He's like, I believe you're the Messiah, and he worships him as God. This is an amazing account in the life of Jesus. So verse 39, Jesus says, for judgment, I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. So think about that for a second. The blind will see. That's this guy. And those who see will become blind. Who's he talking about? Well, and not only this guy's obviously physical blindness, but he just said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. He can see now. His spiritual blindness is gone. He can see Jesus is the Messiah. So verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, heard him say the blind will see and those who see will become blind. And they say, what? Are we blind too? Verse 41, Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And it just hit me, how often do we claim we can see? Now look, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, and his death on the cross, you put your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you become a new creation, you can see. You once were lost, now you are found. You once were blind, now you can see. The way the Amazing Grace song sings about. But there's another type of sight and blindness that I see throughout Scripture, and it is, are we depending on God, or are we depending on ourselves? And when I read this, that's what I was reminded of. Jesus says, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. The Pharisees' problem was they were acting like they could see. They were acting like they didn't need Jesus. Now, granted, they did not believe in him as the Messiah. I think that's the core message of the text. Don't get me wrong. But what it reminds me of is when we claim that we can see. And I think it just reminds me of it because I see it so much. We love to talk about prayer. We love to do sermons on prayer. But how's your prayer life? Not just prayer life, but when you go in to doing something, are you relying on yourself? Or are you relying on God by actually praying? By actually going before God and saying, will you help me with this? I can't do this on my own. I think usually what we do in ministry settings as well, sometimes we'll pray a little perfunctory prayer at the beginning. Oh, God, help this meeting. And then we spend the next 2 hours with a whiteboard. And often there's not even that. There's no perfunctory prayer. But there's a whiteboard, and it's how smart we are. And we have all of our skills and all of our abilities. And we brainstorm and we strategize. And we come up with how to solve all of these problems. And I just don't see that in Scripture. I was reading the book of Daniel, and this verse just popped out to me. It's in Daniel 2. It's where Nebuchadnezzar gets his first dream, and he's basically, none of his magicians can tell him what the dream was. He's contesting them. Tell me what the dream is. They're like, hey, you tell us a dream, and we'll tell you what it means, maybe. It's like, no, if you're really a magician, you can tell me what I dreamt. And these guys are like, they're peeing their pants. I mean, there's no way we can do that. He says, if you can't, I'm going to kill all of you. And so this edict goes out, and basically word gets to Daniel. Daniel and his three friends, you might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three friends, whose real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're going to get killed too, because they're clumped into this group of wise men that the king has assembled for himself. And word gets out, and Daniel says to the king's officer in verse 15, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? And so this guy explains it to Daniel, and Daniel goes to the king, and he asks him for some time so that he might interpret the dream for him. But it's really interesting. What did Daniel want time for? He wanted time to pray. And here's what he prayed. He explains the matter to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 18. This is, just see if this pops off the page like it did to me. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. If you had that mystery before you, how would you respond? Often we'd hit the commentaries. We would study scripture. We would get the whiteboard out. We would strategize what's best for our church and how to fix this and how to launch this program and what kind of marketing we should do. And I'm not saying that those things are bad in and of themselves. The problem is we rely on those things. Daniel pleads for mercy before God concerning this mystery. He asked the king for some time. We don't know how much time, but some substantial amount of time, not a perfunctory 16-second prayer before the start of the meeting or at the very end of the meeting. Hey, we just planned for 2 hours and we're going to pray for 5 seconds that you would bless our plans. Now they plead for mercy from God. They say, God, there's no way we can figure this out on our own, but you can. Will you reveal this mystery to us? And it just reminded me of John 9. It reminded me of Jesus talking about there's people that can see and there's people that are blind. And the people that can see are the ones that acknowledge their blindness. It's very counterintuitive. And the people that are blind are the ones who act like they're not. So it's almost like we're all blind. That's how we're all blind. Even, I mean, as Christians, right? Like I said, you're not blind. You've seen Jesus. But I mean, as far as who you need to rely on, thinking of Zechariah 4:6, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Are you doing this by your might, by your power, or by God's spirit? And it's like we're all blind trying to do this in our own strength. And we can either pretend like we can see. Picture if you had a blindfold on and you went through your whole day just pretending like you could see and the carnage that would ensue. Not a good picture. Or we can say, yes, God, you lead the way. I said, well, I'm just going to hold your hand. I'm going to let you lead the way. For people that are actually physically blind, they have to do things differently. whether it's a stick that helps guide them, or sometimes a dog that can guide them, or another person that can guide them, or whatever it may be, they have to do things differently to accommodate for their lack of visual sight. Spiritually, are we holding on to God's hand saying, "You lead me, you guide me"? How do you do that? You do it through actually praying. I'm telling you, this is really hard for me. As evangelicals, we are not in the habit of doing this, of spending solitude time with God, saying, "I can't do this on my own." Whatever it is, if it's a ministry thing, if it's a family thing, if it's your work day, I'm relying on my own strength. I confess that to you. God, I need you. I need your strength. Will you speak to me? Will you help me notice things in my soul that I need to address? Help me to listen to your voice. I'm blind. Will you give me sight? Will you be my sight? I think that's the right kind of blindness. It goes with a spirit of humility versus a spirit of, I can do all this on my own. And so I think the way we check it, the way I try to check it is, how's my prayer life? How's that time, not just in the morning, but in the morning, right? That regular daily time. But then also when I talk to people, how many times do we say, I'm going to be praying for you? Do we pray for them? When somebody has a problem, we give them some advice and some counsel. Can we stop and pray for them? The way Daniel did with his friends, we have to stop. Man, this is a mystery. I can't figure this out on my own. God, I need you. I need you. So the right kind of blindness. Hope that inspires something in you to make some changes in your life, frankly. That's my hope, is that it inspires you that throughout your day, you'll rely on God and not try to do all this stuff on your own. If you're in ministry leadership, are you relying on God? How much time are you spending with your ministry team praying, crying out to God versus just strategizing, just using your own strengths, your own resources, your own gifts? I don't know. I mean, you got to ask yourself that, ask your team that. And then throughout your day, I don't know which one I said already, but throughout your day, as well as daily time with the Lord, are you relying on God? Because we have to. It was Gary Haugen. He's the president, founder of International Justice Mission. He says, I don't pray out of discipline. I pray out of desperation. Their whole organization, it's a huge organization now. It's made up of a bunch of lawyers, and they're freeing people from sex slavery around the world. And they stop twice a day in the middle of everything they have to do. I think it's at 11 or 11:30, they stop for group prayer, and they pray for the cases that they're working on. And every morning at 8 a.m., they have 8 a.m. stillness. And for 30 minutes, they have to be still before the Lord. They have to be still in solitude and prayer and listening. That's awesome. They do it not out of discipline, not to be good Christians, not to become more mature. They do it out of desperation. We have to. The stuff we're working on, freeing people from sex slavery, are you kidding me? You think we could do that on our own, in our own strength? How foolish and arrogant and stupid would we be to try to do that on our own? We cry out to God, like Daniel did with his friends. We cry out to God and say, Lord, work. Lord, by your spirit, do this. Not by might, not by power. So may that be something that you put at the center of your life and the foundation of your life as well. The right kind of blindness. As always, the transition that, what's the word? The transition that out-transitions all transitions from the right kind of blindness to the one, the only, I think it's been 3 months, Noah's rant.
Noah's rant.
Okay, Chevrolet. Look, let me just tell you this. Everybody hates these commercials. Real people, not actors. Everybody hates them. Everybody I talk to hates these commercials. Yet, people still drive Chevys. It's your fault. If you drive a Chevy, it is your fault that the real people, not actors, commercials, are still being played. Make them stop. boycott Chevrolet. These have been going on for years and years. The first one I saw dumbest commercial ever. I hate it. Everyone in the world will hate it, so they'll never make one again. And they've continued to make them. You've all seen them. I don't have to tell you what they are. It's the guy with the beard and the slick back hair and hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of this red car? You think it's pretty? Oh, that car's so pretty. Oh, I love it. It looks like a cherry piece of candy. I just want to lick it. I want to give it to all my friends. I want to give it out for trick or treat. Oh, and then the guy comes back in. Oh yeah, this car won 1,000 awards, JW Power Awards, and we all are like, these are the worst commercials ever. Like these. No offense if you drive a Chevy. I'm not saying they're the worst cars on the road. They used to be. If you read Consumer Reports, I think they're a little bit better now. I think they've caught up a little bit. But this isn't about Chevy bashing. This is about the commercial bashing. So what Aaron wrote in, and this will give you a taste of the actual commercials that will remind you of what they do on these commercials. Aaron wrote to the mailbag with a link to Real People commercials. If Real People commercials were real life, I'm sorry, that's the type of video this is on YouTube. And I've seen these before. And it's this guy named Mahk, M-A-H-K. He's from Boston. So instead of his name being Mark, his name is Mahk. And there's a whole bunch of these. And they're really funny. But they're laced with profanity. And the Flipside podcast is a family-friendly podcast. And so I couldn't play it. I told Aaron I can't play one of these. The good news, Aaron, I found one that I can play that doesn't have any profanity in it. And it's actually really, really funny. So it starts out with these, if you want, and if you want the profanity ones, it's a free country. You can find those on YouTube as well. But these commercials, the Real People commercials, they take the actual Chevy commercial of the guy with the slick back hair and they edit in Mahk right into the, and it's really well done. It makes it look like he's just was a part of the original commercial. So sit back. I'm not sure if I'll play the whole thing or not. We'll see how funny it is. I think it's funny. We'll see if it's funny watching it a second time or not. So it starts out with the actual commercial. You'll hear the guy talking, the narrator, and then you'll hear some of the other sort of real people, and then you'll hear a lot of Mahk.
Chevy is the most awarded car company 3 years in a row.
Liar!
Let's see how quickly you that can read smart. Through all their awards.
2017 Motor Trend Car of the Year.
Our highest quality ranking.
Wow. 10 best, blah, blah, blah.
2015. Only about 90 more to go.
You know what? Let me give it a shot here.
You ready?
Go. 2017 Motor Trend Assault Our Intelligence Award. 2016 JD Power Bottom Stupid Idiot Looking Host Award. Kelly Blue Book 2017 Couldn't Afford the Car You Actually Wanted Award. 2015 Least Likely to Win a Race Award. 2016 Award for Most Recalls of a Car. 2015 Biggest Doors Award. Least Likely to Be Stolen Award. Not because it's secure, but because it's ugly. 2015 Most Likely to Leave You Stranded on the Side of the Road Award. 2015 Award for the Most Fatalities Due to Faulty Ignition Switches. 2008 America Should Have Never Bailed You Out Award. 2009 Award for Most Bankruptcies and Layoffs in a Single Year. At Least It Rolls Downhill in Neutral Award. 2015 Tom Brady Wouldn't Even Take Your Stupid Free Truck Award. 2016 Award for the Most Made Up Awards. 2015 Award for the Most Made Up Awards. 2014 Award for the Most Made Up Awards. Worst Fake Award. The Award for the Worst Awards. Amazing Your Marketing Team Hasn't Been Fired Yet Award. 2016 JD Power Rod Award for the Least Creative, Least Imaginative, Dull, Stale, Tedious, Shallow, Empty, Boring, Condescending, Patronizing, Unfunny, Arrogant, Boastful, braggadocious, asinine, brainwashing, out of touch, worst commercial, brain dead marketing campaign I have ever seen.
They show the host.
President of Happy Hill High Speed Reading Club. Bet you weren't counting on that, huh? JD.
Oh, somehow they managed to do that without profanity. It's pretty impressive. So, the award for the most made up awards. That's the best one. 2014 award for the most made up awards. 2013 award for the most made up awards. Those are so funny. Actually, it almost redeems it. That's what we're about. We're on the flip side. We're really about redemption. We are about redemption here. And that commercial with Mahk, it really almost redeems the fact that the real people, not actors, commercials exist, that they still exist. So I will put a link to this. It's avclub.com. Don't know what that is, but they were able to interview one of the real people. So that you have a non-disclosure thing. You're not supposed to talk about what happened, but he did anonymously. And there's, it's long and I can't really even quote it because it's just, there's so much there, but it's pretty great. If you hate those commercials, I hate them. And I read this and I kept reading stuff to my wife, and she doesn't really, don't really bother her that much. She was really getting annoyed with me. Like, oh, look what he said next. Look what he said next. So you'll get a kick out of it. It's, I'll link to it in the show notes to the podcast. I'll just read one paragraph. He says, then the best part happened, which is that the spokesman went, what have I told you, last year we won more awards than the other car brands. When that wall opened, so he's in one of these commercials where these walls at this convention center, they keep opening and opening and opening. And he's talking about, is that like the LA Convention Center? There's like a porn convention going on like right next door. And he thought that's where he was going when they were like recruiting him to do this commercial or whatever. Anyways, really. Okay, so he didn't know it was for Chevy. He's like, cars and porn, I'm confused. And then, so, okay, back to his quote. When that wall opened, it was the loudest, most awkward, and slow-moving thing I've ever experienced in my life. It just sounded like loud, mechanical noise. You could hear the camera panning slowly in front of us or behind us, and this guy, the host, just stood there through the awkward silence and smiled at us, completely unfazed. It just goes on and on. It's pretty great. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you enjoyed Noah's Rant. I hope you enjoyed episode 19 of the Flipside Podcast. That is the end. I will remind you that the book club, oh yeah, guess what? Soon, I'm going to start the outro. Here we go. Great producer work here, announcing what you're doing to the audience. So, there it goes. So, soon I will be live streaming these. Soon. I just got settled in, so let me get my producer a chance to get some work in. But soon there's going to be live. And there's going to be commercials that I'm going to make up, record, and have, so I can have breaks. So, I got to practice getting in my jibber jabber before the what do you call it comes in, the theme. So it's gonna, that's what I'm practicing right now.
The flip side,
there it is.
No flip yet.
So I messed it up. See, I only have 30 seconds. So this is practice. It's live. This is live practice, baby. So 30 seconds starting now. This is your reminder to go buy or get from the library Mere Sexuality by Todd A. Wilson. The book club is starting. You want to start reading now? Check out Noah Flipiak .com for more details on when your first homework assignment is due and how you can sort of sign up and say, yeah, Noah, I'm in. You're gonna have an actual book club. It won't be a club of one. So check it out. Mere Sexuality. I will see you next time on The Flip Side.
The Flip Side with Noah Flipiak is a South Francis Press production. Copyright Noah Flipiak. www.noahflipiak.com. Theme music by Kyle Lake at K Lake Music. Use with permission. Please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Souls needing revivals. What am I do? Influence like the cup full of that Bombay. Kelly's to them Tom Hanks. Lexus to them Andres. Hoping they check in my inner reverence. Stressing for leverage. That they see the king's tracks on the payment leading to heaven. Yow, yow, dripping in that gall that don't perish. People selling fake. See the green around their belly. Taking refuge in his hand. See his palms, my living quarters. Close them when I'm finished. It is time to bring me closer. That's no purgatory, cause you're in or you're out. When you see him in the clouds, then you know it's going down. Raise them. They've been sleeping for some ages. Now all God's babies so confused by this hatred. Pulpit preachers shouldn't aim to be A-list. Money probably long, but short is with your days. Have you ever heard the sound of freedom? Pointing to return.
Egyptian to the one who got them splinters. Cause that cross is nothing pretty. So why the beauty pageants? And caught up in emotions and following your passions. Talking that freedom, our people need them more than an Easter. Or coffee shop discussions, debating over baristas. Please, sir, this is why we inked up. Even when they do the autopsy, they still see him. Freedom, freedom, freedom coming quickly. Bars from the spirit. Put it through the preamp and mix it like a chemist. Put it in the airwaves and hoping that they hear it. If there's some confusion, then I hope you see him clearly. Raise them, raise them, raise them. They've been sleeping for some ages. Now all God's babies so confused by this hatred. Pulpit preachers shouldn't aim to be A-list. Money probably long,